You know, a word of introduction, I guess, about the whole week before us, and even before the word of introduction, a word of hello. It's good to see a lot of you again, and it's been a while, and I spent 9 wonderful months here, and I know how you prayed for me during that time, and it was 9 very short months, but it was a wonderful time to be here, and I often still get up here to Laurel for meetings and things, and I often drive by and have fond memories. I want to preach or teach on this particular topic, the five conferences, and that is this: there's more to life. Now you expect me to finish it, right? You have to finish it. But there's more to life. Maybe the subtitle is from the scriptures, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in the first letter to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter, where he says, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Now it sounds nice, doesn't it? But the question is, you know, sometimes we hear slogans and sayings, and I'm going to ask you, is that true? Are you really a new creation? I know how you should answer the question, but I'm asking, how really would you answer that question? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. Is that true in your life? Do you really feel like your life is brand new? Like there's something wonderfully different about your life than if you had not known Jesus Christ? That there's something wonderfully different about your life because Jesus Christ has come into the world. And could you testify to what that is? Would you be able to articulate and to tell someone, this is how my life is changing because of Jesus Christ? There's not enough testimony in the Catholic Church. Most of you know I serve in the black community, and we're there's a lot of cross-pollination between the Catholic and the Baptist communities, all right? And one of the things that's very common is testimony. Where people just naturally talk about what the Lord is doing in their life. The Lord's been good to me, and here's what He's doing in my life. And I think in the wider Catholic community, we've got to begin to do more of that for ourselves, for our children, and for each other. That we can truly say that I am a new creation, and here's how I am a new creation. Yes, I have hurts, I have sorrows, I have struggles, but I also have victories to celebrate. I have a wonderful stories to tell about how sin is being put to death in my life. And grace and mercy and love and peace and courage is coming alive. My life is changing because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of His Word to me, because of His resurrection, because of His grace, because of the sacraments that I celebrate. Regular confession, right? Somebody say amen. Every Sunday Mass. Now, come on, you can say amen. And one of the nights this week, I want to look a little bit at the whole idea of confession. We're going to look at that one of these nights. But, brothers and sisters, if you're faithful to the Lord, I hope that you are able to articulate that the Lord's been good to you, that He's changing your life, that there's more to your life, that you're coming more alive because of what the Lord is doing. And so what I want to do each of these nights is to kind of look at some of these texts that talk about new life in Christ and to ask you some questions about those texts. First of all, the question always looming is, all right, here's the text. Is it true? Now, of course, it must be true, Father. It's in the Bible. That's not the question I'm asking. I know it's true in the literal sense of that word truth, but is it true for you? Is it happening in your life? Or is this just something that's supposed to happen to someone else? Holy people who live in monasteries or something. So I'm going to ask you, are these sayings true for you? And I'm also going to ask you, Do you expect something based on this reading? Tonight we're going to look at Romans 6 and just a little bit about this passage I've picked. You know, how many of you have ever been to the Easter Vigil? Okay, a good about 70% of you, it looks like. It's a long service, and the whole first part of it is readings from the Old Testament and kind of a semi-darkness, and all of a sudden, the lights come on more brightly, and the Gloria is sung by the choir, and hallelujah, Jesus just stepped out of the tomb. Praise the Lord. That's what we celebrate in the Easter Vigil. We literally, if you will, witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the very first reading that comes after the singing of the Gloria is the reading that you just heard. The first words out of the church's mouth on the night of resurrection from the New Testament is from Romans chapter 6. And we're going to look at it tonight. But you would you agree that it's a pretty important reading then, isn't it? The first New Testament reading on resurrection morning or resurrection night that the church wants us to hear is this text. Obviously, it's important for us. Obviously, it's of critical importance. And it talks to us about the power of Jesus Christ, because of His death and resurrection, to give you a completely new and transformed life. Now, is that a reality in your life, or is it just a ritual term? You know, it's just ritual talk. I'm a new creation in Christ. Yeah, right. And you're on with your day, and you're grouchy as ever, and you still hate your boss, you hate your spouse, you hate your job. Well, I'm just exaggerating a little, right? Do you think that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could be filled with anger or hatred or bitterness or a lack of forgiveness or sorrow or regrets or pains or difficulties so that we would be dominated by sin? Do you think Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could live a life like that? And yet how many of us have just settled down and figured that that's normal? Oh, everybody's that way. That is not the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is to be alive, joyful, serene, confident, seeing sin put to death. Maybe not sin free, but I am beginning to experience real victory over sin in my life. I am not dominated by all the sins that used to dominate me, but I'm experiencing victory. That, brothers and sisters, is the normal Christian life. It's okay to say amen. That's the normal Christian life. And that's what Paul's talking about in this reading. So, well, without any more introduction, let's get right down to business. You've got the reading in front of you. And I want to, first of all, just talk to you a little bit about the principle of the reading. The text says here, first of all, just this principle. The text says, how can we who died to sin continue to live in it? Or are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were indeed buried with Him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might live in newness of life. Now there's three words that I want to emphasize from this text tonight. How? I also want to look at the word unaware and the word newness. Newness. Now, the text asks us this question. How could it be? How could it be that Jesus Christ died on the cross to put an end to sin and death, and you and I would still live dominated by that? How can that be? Now, it's what you call a rhetorical question. You know what I mean by a rhetorical question? For example, here's a good rhetorical question. Someone comes up to you and says, "You got a problem with that?" It's in the form of a question, but it's not a question, is it? It's what I mean by a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question has the answer implied in it. This isn't, how can this be that, you know, Jesus died and we're still living in... How could it be? Again, I'm going to ask you, do you think Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could stay in bondage to any sin? Any sin whatsoever? How can it be? Jesus Christ died to set you and me free from everything that holds us bondage. Whether it's our sins, our sorrows, our distresses, our setbacks, the Lord wants to give us freedom over all these things. There are some crosses He expects us to carry, but we carry them with victory, with confidence, and with courage. So again, brothers and sisters, already the text is saying to us, now remember, this is the Easter vigil. The first words out of the church's mouth. Jesus just stepped out of the tomb. We sang the Gloria. The lights are on. And the first words out of the church's mouth comes from St. Paul. How can we who died to sin yet still live in it? Now, you could hear this in the negative sense. Uh-oh, I better really snap too. I've got to get rid of these sins real fast. Brothers and sisters, that's not what it's saying. It's saying there is a power, a new power available to you so that you do not have to live in bondage to any sinful drive. But you can take these things to the Lord. Let Him break their back, these things that hold us in bondage. The Lord will break those chains and give us freedom to live victoriously over these things. Whether it's anger or bitterness or a lack of forgiveness in our life. Whether it's sorrow or sensuality or sexuality that holds us in bondage. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's bondage to greed or to power or the desperate, desperate desire to have everybody like me. What a bondage that is, right? Running around trying to please everyone is exhausting, isn't it? But the Lord says, you can be free of these things. Now you bring them to me, and I will set you free. Do we take that seriously? You see, brothers and sisters, we're not supposed to be in bondage to those things. That is not the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is to be free of those things I described. Now you might say, well, I can't just snap my fingers. No. But I can tell you this much. You ought to begin to experience, if you really are in Christ Jesus, and you're taking His promises to you seriously, and you're living a sacramental life, a life of prayer, I hope that you can testify that you're beginning to experience freedom over the drives of sin in your life. Now, we're going to get to that in just a moment, but first of all, just hear what the church is teaching us through this passage of Scripture. It is unthinkable that Jesus Christ would die on the cross so that you could be in bondage to any sin whatsoever. Now, it goes on to say, or are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? The death He died... Well, it goes on later to say, the death He died to sin. We were indeed buried with Him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might live in newness of life. Now, I've got a lot of stuff we could go into here, and I don't have time, but careful about... Think about the word sin in two different levels. First of all, we have our own personal sins. We know about those. But do you understand, brothers and sisters, we also live in a world that is dominated by sin with a capital S. It's just the whole climate of sin that surrounds us. The anger, the cynicism, the sensuality, the confusion, the rebellion of the world all around us. Jesus Christ died to those things. Those forces of sin went after Jesus Christ and killed Him. But He rose and broke their back. He cast off death like a garment, St. Paul says. We live in a world which is dominated by sin. by rebellion, by anger and bitterness and violence. Now, it's not all bad. I don't want to sound too negative up here. There's beauty in the world. Somebody say amen. There are good things in the world. But we also know that there are negative things in the world that hold this world in a bondage. And the Lord died to that. And He rose to a new life. Did you hear what He said in the Gospel today at Mass? This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. When He says the kingdom of God is at hand, He's saying, you don't have to live in the kingdom of this world anymore. Because of my death and resurrection, you can come out of that world dominated by sin and the forces of sin, and you can live in the kingdom of God, and you can come to a whole new life in Christ Jesus. Again, or, He says, are you unaware? Unaware. I'm afraid that too many Christians who sit in pews on Sunday mornings, even church-going Christians, are very unaware that Jesus Christ has changed history. That Jesus Christ is offering you a complete transformation of your mind and heart. So that you think differently. You have different priorities. You have a good, clear, sober mind that sees what's going on in your life. And you know why you were made. You're not running around on the world's priorities anymore, but you're going on the Lord's priorities. The Lord can give us a new mind and a new heart. A heart that loves the Lord. And is coming more and more alive with holiness. But I'm afraid that too many Christians just sort of live unaware of this. They just think it's normal to get up every day and kind of schlep through the day, be exhausted at the end of the day, fall dead tired, maybe utter a few prayers, get up the next day and do the whole thing. You know, it's tragic. Some people, you know, they just get up every morning, they run around, get shaved, get showered, go to the work, they hate their boss, they hate their job, they hate their co-workers, they come home, they argue with their spouse, they yell at their kids, they take three martinis to settle down, they go to bed and get up the next day and do it all again. And that's their whole life. Brothers and sisters, not for us, amen? Not for us. We're to have a joy, a vision, a purpose. But too many Christians are just unaware that we should be living lives radically different than what the world offers up. So again, the Lord is teaching us today through this reading. It says here, how can we who died to sin still continue to live in it? How did you die to sin? Here's how you died to sin: when Jesus Christ died to sin. Why? Because through your baptism, you've been made a member of His body. And when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus rose, you rose to newness of life. Jesus died to this world dominated by sin. He now lives in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of this world. You and I are called to live in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. To live a whole new life. Or, are you unaware? Are you unaware? That's just supposed to be like everybody else. No, you're not. You're not. You're supposed to be transformed. I'm not supposed to just resemble someone from the world who doesn't know the Lord. Something brand new has come alive in me. So again, there is this remarkable sort of unawareness. Too many Christians just settle down with mediocrity. Just settle down with worldly lies and worldly priorities and worldly ways of thinking. And they think, well, that's normal. It's not normal. Jesus Christ is normal. Anything other than Jesus Christ is abnormal. Are you praying with me? So again, we have here the principle. Now, next notice, I want you to notice the power. The power of the cross and the resurrection. It says, for if we've grown into a union with Him through a death like His, we shall also be united with Him in the resurrection. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now the key word here I want you to think about is union. Union. Brothers and sisters, Paul puts it this way. I live. No, not I. Christ lives in me. How are we going to see sin put to death and this new life come alive? Only by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Through the sacraments, through prayer, Holy Communion every Sunday without fail. If you can get to daily Mass, get there. Through the union of prayer, through the reunion of confession, but only through union with Jesus Christ. I can't just jump up and down and say, I've got a new life. No, my new life is in Christ, and I've got to stay united with Him. And so it is that this union with Christ, the power of the passion of Jesus Christ is placed firmly in our hearts when we are united with Christ. We die with Him, and notice again, it says that we will be united with Him also in a resurrection. To what? Newness of life. Newness of life. So again, you see this great call that we've received. We're not to live mediocre lives dominated by sin and struggles. We're to live victorious lives where we're seeing new and wonderful things coming alive, grace and glory. We're seeing sins put to death. Am I clear? That's the new life that He's offering us. Or are you unaware? I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying, too many Christians, do you see what I'm saying? Too many, it's just normal to just sort of kind of go through life with kind of in a fog and in a haze and just sort of a hope for the best. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross that you could just sort of be vague and hope for the best? Try to do a little better this year than last? I mean, please, brothers and sisters, He offers us more than that. Are you praying with me? Can someone say amen? Now the final thing I want to talk about is the proof. Well, I should say not just the final two things, the proof and the product. Now, the remarkable truth here is that the proof is in you. It says here, Paul says something. He says, we know. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. We know that our old self was crucified with Him. Do you know that? Are you just saying that because it's written in the Bible? Or do you know it? Are you saying because you know it? All right, let's keep going. We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that our sinful body might be done away with, so that we might no longer, look at this, no longer be in slavery to sin. Did you hear that? We know that our old self was crucified, was put to death. The old nature from Adam, from Eve, that nature has been put to death. A new nature has come alive so that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. Pretty radical stuff, isn't it? Most Christians just think, well, I'm in slavery to sin, but that's okay. God loves me anyway. Well, I guess he loves you anyway, but we're not supposed to be in slavery to sin. It goes on to say, therefore sin must not reign over your mortal body so that you obey their desires. For sin is not to have any power over you. Radical stuff, isn't it? I can see the gears turning. Impossible! I can't be completely free of sins. See how low our expectations are? We don't expect much from God, do we? Let me ask you again. How could it be that Jesus Christ would die on the cross and that His death and resurrection would not be sufficient to set you free or to set me free from sin? How could it be? Are we minimizing the power of God? Paul's not exaggerating. He's telling us an important truth. But again, how do you know this? The text says, we know this. Now, in English, the word know can sometimes just mean intellectual knowledge. I got it backed up in my brain. I can quote it. 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay. But in the Bible, the word know almost never means merely intellectual knowledge of something. In the Bible, the word know means this: deep, intimate, personal experience of the thing or person known. And the key word I want you to remember there is experience. To know in the Bible is to have an experience of something. Deep, intimate, personal experience. So when Paul says here, we know, he doesn't just mean you can look it up in the Bible and read it off the page. He means you know. He means you have experienced this. You have experienced that your old self has been crucified with him, and that your sinful body is done away with, so that you are no longer in slavery to sin. Paul says, we know this. Let me change the word again. Paul says, we experience this. Do you? Now again, I hope you can say yes. I hope you can say amen. Let me give some personal testimony. And I hope as I give this personal testimony, I'm not giving it to boast or to just talk about myself, but I'm hoping to elicit in you a memory of your own experience. There are things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. Sins I used to commit that I don't commit anymore. I don't even want to commit them. There are some stupid, heinous, hurtful, unholy thoughts I used to have that I don't have anymore. I'm embarrassed that I even used to think that way. The Lord is changing me. The Lord is putting sin to death in me. There are some drives of sin that no longer bother me. There are some things I used to do, some thoughts I used to, some sins I used to commit, some thoughts I used to have that no longer plague me. I've been set free. I do know. I do experience that my old self has been crucified and that a new Charles Pope is coming alive. I know that. I experience that. And that, not even just with my sins, but even things related to sin. For example, I used to be so much more fearful, so much more angry, so much more lustful, so much more angry and confused. There used to be so many things that used to plague me. And I'm not saying they're completely gone, but I'm so much more confident. I'm so much more joyful. I'm so much more excited in the Lord. I'm so much more, I have so much more serenity, shalom, peace. God's been good to me. I do know this. Can anyone relate? This is happening in our lives. The Lord is bringing new life alive in us, if we reach out for it and grab it. But do you understand? We've got to become more and more aware of this and thirst for it and begin to have high expectations, because too many Christians have low expectations. They don't really expect much from the Lord. Now tomorrow night we're going to talk about sacraments. And I'm going to have a lot of young people here. And a lot of young people are pretty clear. I think church is boring. Some older people don't want to admit it. But I want to ask you, yeah, even with the sacraments, we have such low expectations, don't we? I'm going to say this tomorrow night, but I'll just say it tonight. Some people put more faith in Tylenol than they do the Eucharist. I'll tell you why. Because when they take Tylenol, they expect something to happen. Hello? When they take the Eucharist, they don't expect anything. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Do you come to church expecting to hear a word that will transform you? Do you come to church expecting to receive a Eucharist, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself on the Eucharist, so that you'll never be the same again? And if you don't have high expectations, why not? What have we done to the promises of God? How have we done? Well, God didn't really mean that. He said I didn't have to be in slavery to sin, but He didn't really mean that. Church, that's a sin. That's a sin to talk like that. You know, one day Abraham, who had been promised offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky or the sand on the shore of the sea, one day Abraham said, God, I think you were probably exaggerating. You must mean that I'll have offspring through my servant Eleazar. Church, that was a sin he committed. God said, no, not that one. But from your own loins, and from Sarah, your offspring will come. He just dismissed what God said. He said, God didn't really mean it. He just lowered his expectations. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a sin to do that to God's word. This text is very clear. We are not to be in bondage to sin. We are not to be in slavery to sin. It's sin is to have no power over us. Now, you might say, but wait a minute. I can't just snap my fingers and stop. I mean, I still feel its power. There's an old saying that we have in gospel music. It goes like this. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. A wonderful change has come over me. So, you know what? It is a process, isn't it? This coming to new life, it's a process. But it's supposed to be happening. We're supposed to notice the progress. When I first came into this world, you couldn't even see me. I was just a tiny little cells, a couple little cells there together. I got big enough so you could see me. I was born and I was held, but I was just a little kid. I was only 8 pounds. Boy, that's a few pounds ago. Now I'm 6 feet tall and about 230 pounds and... How did I get this way? Little by little, one day at a time, one donut at a time. But you know what? Over the years, I've noticed my growth. When I was young, I had to keep buying new pants. In fact, there was one year where I grew over 7 inches in 1 year. My mother kept buying trousers and she just gave up. Over the years, I've had to buy new trousers. I notice. I'm asking you, do you notice that your life is changing in Christ Jesus? It may take time to grow up into the full maturity of Jesus Christ, but do you expect to grow? Do you expect some changes in your life that you should say that I may not know exactly how to stop struggling with this sin right now, but there will be a day when I will be free. I will bring this to Jesus Christ every day. I will confidently expect that He will set me free. And as I look back in the rearview mirror of my life, I can testify to you that I have been set free of many sins. There are some sins that I still struggle with, like all of us, but I am a man of hope and of expectation. These things will be put to death. They will not continue. They will not continue to drag me down. If you are struggling with any addiction, if you're struggling with any sorrow, if you're struggling with any sin, any depression, regrets, bad memories, anger, anxiety, bitterness, a lack of forgiveness, you bring it to the Lord. High expectation. Sin is not to have any power over you. If it does, go to the Lord and say, this is obnoxious, it's impossible, it can't be happening. You died on the cross. I invoke your precious blood on my life right now. I invoke it. I call it upon me. There is power, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. It is not normal to be dominated by any of these things, any of these negative things. Do not accept it. Have a holy dissatisfaction for anything in your life that is not of God. Now, the final thing. My goodness. The final thing is the product. He says here in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this phrase, and what I want you to focus on with me now is the phrase eternal life. A lot of us think that eternal life means when I die and I go to heaven. Once again, I want to try to broaden your idea of the word or the phrase eternal and eternal life. Now, eternal, again, in English, When we hear the word eternal, we think, for example, eternal life, we think, aha, a long, 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 long life. You know, live forever. Now, I hope this doesn't sound impious what I'm about to say to you, but I've always considered that pretty boring. Just to live forever. There's no excitement. I mean, yeah. But anyway, but eternal life in the Bible doesn't mean just to live forever. Eternal in the Bible doesn't just mean the length of something, but the fullness of something. Let me repeat that. Eternal in the Bible doesn't just mean the length of life, but the fullness of life. So that when we go, eternal life doesn't just mean when I die and go and live forever in heaven. Eternal life means to come fully alive. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a day where you were really alive, you had all the energy in the world, you're getting everything done, you got every project done, you still had energy left over to do more stuff, you're just going, 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 and everything went your way, everyone you called was right there when you needed them, and everything just like that went like clockwork, and boy, you were energetic, you were excited, you felt alive, didn't you? Ever have a day like that? And you know what happened the next day, right? Crash and burn, right? Because you overdid it. But brothers and sisters, that's a little glimpse. A little glimpse of what the Lord wants to offer us. That He wants to bring us more and more alive. To give us more joy, more zeal, more glory, more wonder and awe, more excitement. The Lord wants to do that, and not just when we die and go to heaven. That's where we'll experience it in its fullness. But even now, Paul says, our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. What he means by that is, yes, our bodies are breaking down, and hair is falling out, and teeth are falling out, and, well, you know. About age 18 or 19, I guess we reach our pinnacle, and there's kind of a long downhill slide, right? But our outer self, our bodies, waste away. But our inner self, our soul, our spirit, is being renewed day by day. And it says here in the text, the Lord, the gift of God, is eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the fullness of life. Let me again testify for you. Can I testify again? Again, hopefully bringing alive your own testimonies. I'm in my mid-40s now. I'm just about 45 years old. And my body isn't what it used to be. Actually, it's more than it used to be. But I mean, it's, you know. But I want you to know something. At age 45... I am much more alive spiritually, emotionally. I'm much more alive in terms of my soul than I ever was at age 25. I'm so much more joyful, so much more alive. I know the Lord so much more today. I'm so much, I have such a gladness and a serenity. I'm not saying I don't have bad days. I have moments of depression and sorrow. But deep down inside, I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, that I am so much more alive at age 45 than I ever was at 25. I would never want to be 25 again. I was at age 25, I was so much more angry and frustrated, and I was shaking my fist at the world, and I just had lots of issues, you might say, huh? I'm not saying I still don't have a few issues now, but brothers and sisters, I am so glad to be 45, and wait till I'm 85. You know? I may be in a wheelchair, but I'll be saying, praise the Lord anyhow. Now look, we all have our own personality. You know, you can tell I kind of get excited easily, and, you know, some are more quiet and serene, but I'm asking you, do you have a testimony to give? Can you say that at age 65, or at age 35, or at age 75, that you're more alive than you were 10 years ago? I hope so. Because if you're growing into the maturity of Jesus Christ, He's bringing you more alive. He's doing something in your life. And you say, you begin to understand, you are the proof. Yes, you can look it up in the Bible and read it. That I'm not to be in slavery to sin, or that I've received the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, and I am coming more alive. You can look it up in a book, yes, and do that. The Bible is very precious. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But I also want you to be able to look it up in the pages of your own life. I want you to know it's true. Not just know about it, I want you to know that it's true, to experience that it's true. So that you can testify. Testify to your children, to your grandchildren. Testify to co-workers, to your sister, to your brother. Testify that God means exactly what He said. When He said He'd give us eternal life. When He said that He would free us from the bondage of sin. When He says that sin was not to have any power over us. When He said that we would walk in newness of life, He meant what He said. I know it's true because I see it in my own life. I don't just see it on the pages of the Bible, precious as that is. I also see it in the pages of my own life. Do you have a high expectation that the Lord can completely change your life, help you to walk in newness of life? Listen again to just some of these phrases, then I'm finished. How can we who died to sin yet still continue to live in it? We too walk in newness of life. We shall be united with Him in His resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified. We know that our sinful body has been done away with. We are no longer in slavery to sin. Sin does not reign over my mortal bodies. Sin has no power over me. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I suppose all of us could say none of these lines are perfectly fulfilled in us. But do you know they're true? Have you experienced the Lord's power? Have high expectations, brothers and sisters. Who brought you to a church like this on Sunday night when you should be home watching TV like the world says? The Lord did this for you. The Lord brought you here tonight. I hope you don't think it was a waste of time, but the Lord brought you here tonight. He has His hand on you. I already see transformation on your faces and in your lives because you're in this church on Sunday night when most people think you're crazy to be here. The Lord is doing something in your life. Be men and women of hope who have high expectations. There is more to life. Eternal life, fullness of life. We should expect radical transformation in the Lord, and He's already doing it in your lives. Now it comes for us to have higher and higher expectations of what the Lord can do for us. For the gift of God is eternal life, the fullness of life, the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen.